Would you like to receive written broadcast transcripts of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever? Become a monthly $25 contributor or an annual $250 donor, and we'll send you a flash drive of broadcast transcripts upon the completion of a book of the Bible. Learn how to subscribe at thewordendures.org/transcripts. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon.
Wait a minute. Light as an armor? How can that protect you from anything? Ha! It actually protects you from everything false.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Whedon is leading us in a study of the book of Romans.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. St. Paul had been speaking about what we owe others, recall, taxes, revenue, respect, honor. So he moved on to say, don't let any of these debts stay outstanding, owe no one anything. We even pondered if he meant that quite literally in the sense of not making a habit of spending more than you make. But he clearly brought it up for another reason. He wanted to get to one debt you could never pay off. And remember, we thought it might be to love God, our great benefactor. Instead, it was to love each other. Here's the debt we're never done paying. We learned that the one who loves has fulfilled the law. Recall that there's only one who has done that fully and perfectly, your Lord Jesus. Paul wasn't suggesting you could do that, but that if you are united to him who has done that, you will begin to draw from his life and your life will become like his. And love was what he was always about. Each of the commandments, Paul lists out our 6th, 5th, 7th, 9th, and 10th, are really only painting love in action toward the neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself is their sum, what they all add up to. And remember, thinking about neighbor as bigger than brother. It's not just fellow Christians, but each and every human being we encounter to whom we are summoned to be neighbor, to love as we love ourselves. And thus, love is the fulfilling of the law. Remember how this tied back to the golden rule, which Jesus said was what the law and the prophets, what we call the Old Testament, had always been driving toward. Picking up then at the 11th verse of Romans chapter 13. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you're ready to dig in? Let's do this. Verse 11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. This reading, people loved by God, lives in the church's liturgy as the traditional epistle reading for the first Sunday in Advent, that season that focuses on being prepared for the return of Christ in his glory. It would be harder to find a more apt word to exhort toward this preparation. He starts out with, you know the time. And what time is that? Well, he's painting a picture of the way that the sky begins to lighten at dawn before the sun actually peeps over the horizon. He's saying, folks, you know that's where we live. The full sunrise is what he expects at the appearing of Christ, who will shine in glory like the sun. Remember Malachi 4:2? But for you who fear my name, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And Paul's point is, you know that's coming. And though Jesus warned that no man knew the day or the hour, the early Christians were rather convinced, since Jesus said soon, that it would actually take place in their own lifetime. They lived their lives as those who expect it any day for the darkness of the present age to give way to the bright and joyous light of the kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, was their fervent plea. And so the exhortation to wake from sleep. Martin Luther, the famous reformer of the church, helps us get this. Listen, let us not sleep like others, but let us watch and be sober. For temporal desires are to the eternal good, as the images in a dream are to true pictures. Therefore, sleep now is nothing but love and desire for creatures, but to be wakeful is to hold to the eternal good and to seek and to long for it. By creatures, he means the creature comforts of this life. Being asleep is to coast through this life, thinking it's all about food and drink and sex and family and children and acquiring more and more stuff, focused on this world. That's what Luther says is a dream image. Instead, focus on the real thing, the eternal good that awaits you at that moment when Christ appears in glory. And Paul says it's nearer now than it was. Well, obviously, every single day brings us nearer to the day of Christ's return. And also, every single day brings you nearer to the day of your death. So wake up and be ready. Verse 12. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. See what I meant about the light in the sky? It's almost here, St. Paul says. So good time to get rid of your nighttime clothes, your pajamas, your works of darkness, and instead put on an armor of light? Wait a minute. Light as an armor? How can that protect you from anything? Ha! It actually protects you from everything false. It's quite parallel to Jesus saying, if you continue in my words, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The light is the truth of God's word, which Jesus reveals to us, and it is an armor. Once you are clad in that truth, it will protect you from the flaming missiles of the evil one, by which he never stops trying to kindle doubt and fear in you. In the word of God, the light that is coming has already shone into this world. Why do you think David sang? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 13. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Echoes here of what St. Paul would write to the Thessalonian congregation in what was probably his first epistle ever written, chapter 5, verses 4 to 8. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Walk properly as in the daytime. That as is important. The Christian lives in view of the day that is coming at Christ's appearing. We live from and toward that future. And that future is not found in drinking parties and getting plastered. It's not found in sexual promiscuity and chasing after pleasure. And it's certainly not found in squabbling and jealousy. All that is works of darkness stuff. All that is stuff we are to leave in the baptismal grave when we are raised to new life with Christ and begin journeying with Him toward His future, toward the kingdom. Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on immediately cues you into baptismal lingo. And then you realize that what St. Paul had invited you to do in the previous verse was to put off. That is exactly parallel to the way he speaks in Colossians and Ephesians. Stuff that goes on and stuff that goes off. And note the way that he can speak of wearing Christ like a garment. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That armor of light, that's the gift of Jesus himself in his words for you to wear, to be actually dressed in. It's the new mind that Paul mentioned back in Romans 12. When a baby is baptized in our tradition, our liturgy calls for them to be clothed in a white garment and to be given a lighted candle. Those are just two ways of confessing that in baptism, you put on Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and he comes to live in you and to shape his life within you. So the contrast between putting on Christ and making provision for the flesh. Now, Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, translated that a little bit differently than we have it in English. He rendered it, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make provision for the flesh, yet not so as to gratify its desires. In other words, you have to think in this life about matters of food and drink and such, but you don't have to let your flesh get in the driver's seat and start commandeering your life as though food and drink and pleasure is what life really were all about. No. Listen to how J.B. Phillips rendered this one. Let us be Christ's men from head to foot and give no chance to the flesh to have its fling. Christ's man from head to foot, clothed in Christ, living toward that joyous moment of his return. I mentioned at the start of this section that this is the traditional epistle reading for the first Sunday in Advent. I'd like to close today with a hymn that captures the joy of living toward the coming dawn. Listen to this. The King shall come when morning dawns and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds the eastern hills and life to joy awakes. Not as of old a little child to bear and fight and die, but crowned with glory like the sun that lights the morning sky. Oh, brighter than that rising morn when Christ victorious rose and left the lonesome place of death despite the rage of foes. Oh, brighter than that glorious morn shall dawn upon our race the day when Christ in splendor comes and we shall see his face. The King shall come when morning dawns and light and beauty brings. Hail Christ the King, your people pray. Come quickly, King of Kings. Now that's to live with your eyes toward the light that's dawning. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.